You're listening to Maneuvering Mondays, a podcast about transforming work culture.
Your hosts today are AK
and Ivana.
And for this special edition, we have invited you, Christian, to have a talk about the first two chapters of the book.
Yes, that's true.
Thank you for coming.
And so, today's our roles are going to be a little bit reversed, because Christian is actually going to be interviewing me and AK about the book, and not us interviewing him.
That's right. Because I know both of you from a work perspective, and when I started following your book, I got more and more curious. How would you deal with the issues and the problems and opportunities that we see in Zebra? So therefore, I suggested that why don't you actually share your thoughts on this topic? So thank you for taking that challenge.
Yeah, this is super exciting and also a little bit scary.
I'm a bit nervous.
So should I just jump into it? I understand that that a lot of people have followed the progress of this story the previous half year. But if there was a newcomer, could you briefly summarize what is the main steps that has been going on in the first chapters, and what is the main focus that has been?
Absolutely, I can start. So basically, so far we have released two chapters of the story, and during these chapters we have been spending some time on introducing the different characters of the book and some of the dynamics going on inside of the fictional company Zebra Apps, who's in the HR department, where the main character Marie works together with her boss, the VP of HR, Mark, and then the development HR team and the operational HR team. And the way we are introduced to Zebra Apps is the last day of the month, where another employee is resigning, and that's a pattern that's been going on for some time in this company. So this Marie character, the main character of the story, she's the head of development HR, and she's really facing this issue of a lot of employees resigning, and it's mainly some of the very senior employees in the company, like people who have a long history in the company, that are leaving, and she's the CEO of the company is asking Marie to fix this issue because she's HR. So who else would fix it? And that leads to Marie looking into, like, why are people leaving? What is the problem? And it seems that when she looks at the competitors, there's not really anything differentiating them, other than that the competitors have. Do you want to add to this, Ivana?
Yeah, I think that was a very good summary. We also get to know some of the more detailed dynamics in some of the teams. For example, we also get introduced to this character of Anne, who was once upon a time with the company, who built the most successful product that this company has, called Aslo, which is a tool that reverses how school works. Instead of having instruction during the class, you can have instructions virtually at home, and then you focus more on doing assignments and learning by doing in class, which was a tool that they developed during COVID. And there's also the background of the war in Ukraine that we follow through the story also, where some of the employees at Zebra tried to request that this program could be provided for free to all the refugees fleeing from Ukraine, so that the children could still receive instruction while they were on the run. But there was resistance from the leadership of Zebra to provide this program, even though they had the capacity to do so. And part of what we're also unfolding is understanding, well, which company dynamics led to this not happening. And also some of the employees that we see resign, this is one of the reasons that they choose to leave Zebra Apps, is because they felt strongly about the humanitarian use of their software, and it was not possible to achieve that.
Mm. So you can say that there's like what Marie finds out in these first chapters is that many people mention in the exit interviews that something changed during the past year. And she can also just see that during this time is when the company has grown a lot on the commercial side, but maybe moved a bit away from the purpose, like the original purpose of the company.
There's a character called Natalie. Who's she?
She's the CEO of the company and also one of the two founders. Mm-hmm. The company was founded by herself and Richard. Natalie used to be a teacher. So she founded this company thinking about how can we develop teaching from a, also you can say, humanitarian perspective. And Richard was the technology guy that she founded the company with. But she and Richard had a falling out and he left the company. And they had a falling out because the company was struggling financially and they had very different ways of coping with that. Where Richard wanted to double down on their values and principles, Natalie basically got scared and wanted to focus more on how can they control more? How can they make sure that they make money? And that is also a lot of what drives her is how can she create this financial success that she feels she lost control over when the company hit this hiccup.
So that's also a very interesting dynamic. The last thing before we move on to asking you about your positions is where did we leave the organization after chapter two? So what happened just before we left them?
The Marie's boss, Mark, the VP of HR, he gets a bit upset that Marie got this task from Natalie. So he basically commits her to do a culture program in Zebra Apps or to launch a huge culture program to get back on track on the company culture. And I think that's a very typical situation that that it becomes like an HR problem when it has to do with like the cultural part. So she starts thinking of how can I develop this culture program and plans together with her team a leadership offsite where they will go to kind of discuss the values of the company, which she finds out actually existed from the beginning, but was lost somewhere in the process of the company, of the company's growth. So she kind of wants to rediscover these old values. And that's the purpose of this leadership offsite.
Yeah, in chapter two, we follow the leadership offsite.
Yes.
And it does not quite go as Marie would have liked. The way that they structure this offsite is that they have a general... Natalie presents the values that the company was founded on. And then there is some debate in the room whether these values still apply. And Natalie's leadership team challenge her to see if she still sticks by them. And we do see a bit of an opening here where Natalie actually does. She explains the whole situation with how the company was founded with Richard and does stand by the values. Then there are some individual breakouts where each member of the leadership team do some more work on the values and how they feel they apply. And here we follow Marie as she works with Jacques. Jacques is the VP of sales at Zebra. Mm-hmm. And the first time we meet Jacques in chapter one, he is late for his coaching session with Marie and is quite resistant to the whole idea of being coached. But during this offsite, we actually understand a little bit of where he's coming from and some of the challenges he had in the past company where he worked. Where they did undergo a leadership or they did undergo a cultural transformation at the company as a whole. And we also, we meet that company a couple of times through other connections that Marie has. But he also explains that the reason why he thought it was hard to undergo this cultural transformation is that he put in all the work to rise through the hierarchy. And once he finally got to the top of the hierarchy in the company, the culture changed, and now it was no longer valued to being the top of the hierarchy. So he felt a sense of loss, and also maybe a sense of shame a little bit, because it did not necessarily align with him to rise in the hierarchy the way that he did. But he did it to get there, and then suddenly the rule changed. And that was very frustrating for him. And also during this offsite, we learned that some drama happens with one of the other leadership team members, Frank, who was the CFO of this company. He storms out from his session with that was facilitated by Sheila, one of Marie's employees, and we don't know why,
but we do know that he actually retires. Afterwards, it's communicated the next week that he left ZebraApps. So that's a huge cliffhanger for chapter 3.
Exactly. So that's actually where we are right now. So that's the background we can use when we talk about how would you deal with this situation. So before we do that, I have a question. Because as part of these podcasts, every time you have released an episode, you have also had a discussion with an expert guest. And I just want to ask you, which of these conversations have made the biggest impression on you? It may be very different from those of you, because they have been very different. Why? And is there anything from that have changed the way you work?
It's a great question.
Well, yeah, really good question. I would be happy to answer first. So it's honestly a bit hard to choose like which one was the most like the one that left the biggest impression, because I think they all do in different ways. But I can for sure say that something that made me reconsider how I work was our chapter with Benoit Hurel from The Ready. And this was because he talked a lot about this complexity consciousness and thinking of organizations as systems, and having this approach to like talking about the operating system and looking into the organization through different lenses. And I actually kind of took everything he said and I went back and read more about it, and I went like did everything that I could to try to start to apply it in my own work like the next week. So that was super helpful for a very specific task that I was working on at that point.
No, thank you.
I think, one episode that really changed the way that I work was with Heidi Helfand. We touched it a little bit during the episode. Something about the way that we structure teams and the stability of teams. And Heidi had actually written a book about this that I went on to read afterwards, where I realized that, well, one of the key assumptions that I have held for a very long time is that team stability is very important. And the more stable the team, the better the collaboration within the team. Where in Heidi's book, she stipulates that, yes, team stability is nice, but it's impossible. Teams will change whether you want it or not. So the question is, well, how do you get really good at adjusting teams when they change? And that has been something that I have been thinking about a lot. Well, how do you build in this change readiness in the teams instead of necessarily always trying to protect that change doesn't happen? That kind of shifted my mindset on one of the core beliefs that I've had for a very long time.
Yes, interesting. It's like an orchestra. How can you retain the soul and the spirit while people are being exchanged?
Yeah. And then I think, okay, maybe for both of us, the conversation with Dr. Ross.
Yes. Yeah.
That was
very spot on. He was very direct in his feedback to Marie.
Yes. So maybe we can come back to that, what you would tell Marie. So when we go forward, I don't want you to think as the authors. So the story is as it is, that it has its reasons and so on. So it's more, how would you react in a similar situation? And what do you think is up and down in this? So the first question is, of course, obvious. If you should find somebody in the story that you would be in real life, if I met you in some organization, you have to choose between one of the people, there's a lot of people in the story, who would you be?
I think the obvious choice would be Marie, taking on the battle for better organizations. But in many ways, I identify with Marie, but in many ways also I do not. So there are also some side characters that I think I also see myself in, as someone like Willy, who used to be the janitor of the data center, but got retrained to be an engineer. I feel a lot of like internal congruence with this character.
And AK?
Yeah. So I obviously also kind of identify with Marie, because I think I really feel for how hard it is to actually navigate all these dysfunctions in a company. So it's not like, I mean, I understand when you read or listen to the story, sometimes she makes some strange choices, but I also just think that it's very illustrative of how real life can be sometimes. So I do think that I would probably make some of the same choices as she does, even though I can see, like, when you look at it from the outside, that it's not always the best thing to do. But I do think another character who would I want to be, or who would I like to be, like, I think that would be maybe Eric from Marie's team. I think he displays a lot of good leadership skills, even though he's not the formal leader of the team, because that's Marie. But I think that he takes on some responsibility in keeping the well-being of the team up, and really he helps Marie see some of the things that she's missing, because she's so busy with trying to just figure out how to survive in this company.
To me, he is the wise guy in this.
I would like to be that person. But
you have already answered my second question, because that was my second question. Who would you like to be? Because there's normally a very big difference between who we are and sometimes also who we want to be. So, what about Ivana? Is there something else you want to be?
I would like to be Richard. The guy who started the company with Natalie, and the guy who put a lot of the good culture in place at Zebra, the one who insisted that they build a value-based company and that they give freedom to the developers, and that even in the face of financial difficulties, that he still believed that by creating a work place suitable for humans, that the financial part will be sorted out also. I would like to be Richard.
Are you willing to sacrifice what it takes?
The potential sacrifice of financial success for how it feels to be in the company?
No, at the point where he's forced out, it's not very obvious, I guess, what the future would be. And it takes something to stand on your values and on your beliefs and be the idealistic founder of a company in that situation. And you may end up sacrifice, as he did. So I'm just asking, what does it take? And are we, as human beings, ready to make that sacrifice? And why?
And that, I think, is an important question. And this is aspirational, right? So I would aspire to be the person who would be willing to do take that stance.
I just want to say that I think this is one of the important characteristics of this book, that all the people we meet in the book, they're very human. So Natalie, she's sometimes she doesn't come off as the maybe greatest CEO of the of the world, but she's very, I think there's a good explanation for why she is acting as she is, because she's also under a lot of pressure. And I think that's how reality is sometimes, that we can, I'm sure she also aspired to be in a certain way when she started the company, but that just changed due to the circumstances they're operating under.
So she actually changed her idealism. And when I read it, I see her as the realist and Richard as the idealist. And that ended up in some situations. And I really want to compliment the book because it's very authentic. And you've managed to make the characters very authentic. And that makes the book read-worthy or listen-worthy. But also, that's why I feel I learn a lot from it. If it has been ideal characters, as it often is in business literature, I'm not sure I could learn so much. So very well done. And I like that. We are only humans, and it's air. It's a human to air. And then that's what we see. So that's a good introduction to some of the characters. To me, Anne and Marie are the two most interesting characters. First of all, they don't have so much formal power. The formal power is actually distributed to other people. But their informal power turns out through the first chapters, as we see, to be greater than they even themselves understood in the first place. So they realize and recognize that they have that power and they use it in different ways. Marie stays and has a bit of hope for changing things. Anne learned that she's actually more powerful than she thought and used that to quit the company and use her forces in other places. So two very strong characters and very, very different. And I'm not sure, and you may correct me, if I met these two in real life, one of them to me would be the consultant type, Marie, and Anne would be the team player that is committed to the team. Marie still seems like somebody who hopes to fix or cure the illness as a doctor outside the organization, where Anne was so involved in the organization, so she either had to fulfill her mission or quit. So I get this old picture, you know, the difference between the chicken and the pig. So in a bacon and egg breakfast, what's the difference between the chicken and the pig? The chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. And I'm not sure, but when I read this, Marie, sorry, is the chicken. And Anne is the pig. Is that characters we meet a lot in real life? And my question is, if you were only allowed in the organization to hire one of them, both of them applies for the job, you're only allowed to hire one of them in the current phase of CBRAMS, who would you hire to help you?
Good question. And it also... I think for a lot of people working in the agile transformation or in the agile space in general, this is a very real question. Do you want to be the pig or the chicken? Do you want to be in the work, in the organization, or do you want to become a consultant that comes and goes? And it's an interesting choice for many. I think if I was to hire one person for Zebra Apps, I would probably pick Anne.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because she may be able to. That's a great question. This gets me thinking. Mm-hmm.
She's a quitter. Do you really want to?
She is a quitter. But she understands that it's a very human work. Like the way that she navigates is by speaking to people, by bridging the disconnects. She's in the work where Marie sometimes is, well, she simplifies things quite a bit, maybe because of her background as a consultant, and does not necessarily understand the full picture or the very real intentions that are can be different than the org chart of the organization. So if I was to bet for who can make change happen, it would probably be Anne. But here, yet we are with a situation where Anne actually left because she didn't feel like she could do the change.
And that's maybe my what I would add, because I agree. I would also pick Anne, but it would demand that Anne would get the room or like the wiggle room or the option to actually work in the way that she believes is the right way. Because I think in the current setup of Zebra Apps, Anne would not be able to succeed. And I think that's why she left. Because she could just see that.
You could say in the current situation, if Anne was going to succeed, wasn't that because of the work that Marie has started? Because now there's another situation, there's another awareness in management. Maybe there could be room for Anne now, but she would probably not have been able to take it. I don't know, but of course it's a situation. So, but it's more, if I was in that situation, I only had money for one. I think it's interesting. What does it take to change an organization inside out?
One of the problems with Anne is that she's not leadership interfaceable. She's very good at making, you can say, the heart of the organization or the engine room of the organization making that work. But it seems like she's not able to convince Natalie what needs to be done, or even Jenny, the VP of development. And that is a challenge, because you also do need to have your leadership supporting the way that you're working.
Yes. So these two individuals, and I think still think they are some of the most interesting, the keys to the solution. And you can of course disagree with that, but still, let's talk about them. They have their different personalities, and as a reader, it seems to be their personality more than their expertise that gives them the informal power. So this company has grown from a very small company to a larger company, and still, it's two people with personality that has had the most influence. Is that an issue in our organizations? And is it something that we really are aware of, how much personality means for transformation and things like that? So would you, if you were going to hire somebody, you would be very dependent on this person if it was one of these two guys. Would you take that risk, and why?
I think I would say that we would like to believe that personality or the individual does not play a role, that we can create organizations where we have roles. This is the role that will do X. I think I may be disillusioned, but I no longer believe that that is... the truth. I don't think that happens. I think that every transformation in an organization is dependent on the person and the person's personal power. And sometimes you can lend some of that power from the role you have in the organization, but most often it comes from you as an individual and the personal relationships you have with other people. At least that's my current thinking. Once upon a time, I thought that it was more about, ooh, I have a specific job. That means I can do X. Now I think I am this specific person. That means I can do X.
I was taught leadership in the 80s, and we were always taught never be dependent on individuals. Never be dependent on individuals. But everything I read, everything I see, big changes I see, I'm always amazed how much the individual personality actually influence the transformation. That's interesting. And then, what if that's true? If that's as you say, Ivana, something we need to remove. Why don't we include that in our management models, theories? We do to some degree, but it's more like psychological profiles and things like that. It's not really using the personality.
Mm.
But can we do that?
I think for me, that's one of the reasons why talking about roles or advancement ladders or these, you can say, person void ways of thinking about how the movements in our in organizations, they never really work, make sense. Because if you have a person who maybe they are in this role right now, but for some reason they can also do this role, then you would circumvent whatever model you have created for movements within the organizational hierarchy anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think my solution so far is, well, let's just admit to ourselves that people matter, mm-hmm. And that people matter more than roles, and then have those frank discussions about the people instead of what they're supposed to be, the boxes that they're supposed to be in.
Yeah. And I also think that, I mean, you asked, is it an issue that personality is the thing that will give you the most power, or like in the case of Marie and Anne, of course it can be an issue in terms of what you also mentioned of like being dependent on individuals, but I just think that's a given. So I think it's more a question of finding out how to find a way to leverage that.
So, but it ends up having a huge impact on the organization. And I'll not try to find the root causes for this. You have had experts to discuss that for every episode. But there's no doubt that one of the root causes is that Anne left.
Mm.
So it's 10 months since, and everybody says this company has changed dramatically within the last year. There's, of course, much more root causes, I know, and you cannot, there's not such thing as root causes, but causes. But it turns out that the dependency that the organization had on Anne actually had a big impact. So it's a high risk thing. So it's not easy to be a manager today where you both have to build teams and you want to be independent of individuals. And then the other hand, if you really want to change the world, you need individuals. I'll not fix that. You're here to fix it. So, so again, and I'm sorry because I'm fascinated by these two people. A lot of this telling is about culture. Mm-hmm. So 60-80% is about the culture in Zebra. And there's no doubt that all the experts you have discussed with, they are also looking into the cultural part, and especially Frederick Laloux is in behind here, and people relate to him. And I don't know if I interpret this right, but I'm a reader, so I can interpret as I want.
Yes,
if I see right, Marie thinks the solution to this organization would be what we could call a family-oriented organization or culture. What is in Laloux, it would be the green organization, where Anne seems to prefer the self-management or the teal organization. Where we are right now, if you were going to choose, because Marie has started a culture program, but I'm not sure I can see where she's heading and what her target is, as far as I can see. What would be your target culture?
That's another great question. and I think that's very well characterized, that the target culture that these two have in mind is, in fact, different. And also the way that they try to bring it about hints at the tools that you have in these two ideologies, I almost want to say. I think there's a difference between what AI as a person would thrive best in culturally. Mm-hmm. And I think what is the target culture for an organization given where it currently is? Because you also need to listen to where is their organization currently, mm-hmm. And can it reasonably move given the people that are in that organization? Zebra is in some pockets green, in some pockets orange, in some pockets even red, depending on where you look. So teal may be out of reach for some of the places of Zebra, and especially the way that the leadership team is currently functioning, they might be the ones that are furthest from a teal culture. As a person, I would definitely prefer being in that state.
Yeah.
But whether that is where Zebra needs to go or can reasonably go within a short amount of time is a good question.
I don't think it's possible to move straight to a teal organization. I think it would require some time and some steps. And I also think it's fine that there are some pockets and then that it couldn't evolve from there. But I do agree that as long as the leadership team is the current team, I don't think they have a chance.
Is it desirable? So if you could make a miracle and you meet tomorrow in Zebra, would teal be the best, most optimal way of running Zebra going forward the next 2 years?
Well, even Lalu himself creates a paradox there, because he says that the most important thing is to listening to the organization's evolutionary purpose. And that may call for teal, but it may also not. So whether it's desirable, that is a value-laden statement or question.
Yeah, I don't think we're religious in that sense.
No. I didn't. It was not because I was asking for if you saw it as a generic ideal. It was more in Zebra, in this very organization.
Yeah.
What would be to you the ideal? And you both say it's probably the family metaphor. I'm not so happy about everything with Lalu, but he is also very open about that it's not one culture in an organization. You have a lot of cultures, and these cultures have to develop together and emerge and things like that. So having said that, that's of course not one culture we are looking for. It depends on the part.
But also, I think they're too far. I don't think that they can create an orange culture anymore. There are too many areas of Zebra that are green. Yeah. So I don't think that orange can be the common denominator anymore. That would frustrate too many people, and too many people would leave.
So going back to that, because that was one of my next questions, is it a problem that an organization in growth, having faced financial issues, have survived them successfully, it seems. Is it an issue that they are now exchanging people, that they are getting another type of people in than those who started the company? We have this old, the four M's that you probably know. There's the man phase, there's the movement phase, there's the machine phase, and a lot of organizations. That destiny is to end up as a monument. It's how we have seen things, and that's how nature works. So is it desirable to keep people? Is it a problem? Do Marie have a problem at all?
I will say, I do believe that now we've only seen two chapters, what I see now is people getting more and more frustrated. I believe personally that this will eventually impact the results of the company. So we don't really hear about that yet. We don't really know if it will have an impact on the outcome or on what the company delivers. But I do believe that if we have an engineering department that are incapable of working the way they want to be because of some
cultural or, I don't know, structural things, eventually that will lead to a bad outcome. I think that. I think that that Aslo and their other products will be flawed. So in that sense, yes, I think it's a problem. I think we see a problem right here because the people are not thriving in the company. And I don't think they're able to work together in the way that can make the company perform.
And you had to say that, of course, because else you could end the book.
But I think there's a difference between, I don't think that it's a problem that people are leaving. It's a problem that people leaving is a symptom of dysfunction in the company.
Yeah. I agree. I agree that it's not a problem that you get new employees and there's a turnover and so on. But in this specific case, I think I agree that it's a symptom that people are leaving and that this uncovers this whole problem we have with the work culture.
But the people that, and it's not very clear from the book, but the people who replace the ones who resigned seems to be more, if we stay in this Laloux thing, orange, but from a machine oriented culture, more bureaucrats, more process oriented and things like that. Isn't that natural when a company grows that you attract such people and that will change the culture?
I think this is where the company has a conscious choice. Do they want to attract candidates like that? Are they willing to say, well, this is the journey we're on now? We were a nice startup once upon a time. Now we are turning into a machine. If the company is willing to do that, then I think they should hire people who would thrive in the machine metaphor. If they're not, if they think that our culture will be our differentiating factor, then for the love of God, don't hire those people because they will change your culture.
So it's Richard versus Natalie.
Yes.
Natalie, who says, if I need to change my values, I'll change them. That's a higher purpose. Richard saying the higher purpose is our values. I'll change the organization to align with these. But Richard is out. So you should not tell me what's going on in the coming chapters. But if you were Marie, would you stay there right now? In this situation, you, not Marie, would you, the person you are, would you stay there right now, or would you?
I would stay.
Yes.
At least to see how this unfolds, and at least to give it a try.
So you'll be the courier. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's the consultant way of thinking. So I'll be here. I'll stay a bit outside. I'll try to influence this and see where it goes. I think Marie will do.
I think I would stay too. But that would be because the team that Marie's part of nourishes her, and she feels. She's firmly rooted in this organization. I think that my cue to leave is once my roots are cut,
yes.
And I don't belong anymore. Then I leave.
Yes. Interesting, because it's the same conclusion, but a bit different reason.
I believe that there is hope for Zebra Apps, and maybe I have to believe that because, as you say, otherwise we could just end the book now. But I do believe that there is hope, and I'm also like, I see your point in Natalie versus Richard, but I also have a bit of hope that Natalie might come around because I think we do see a thread of light in her, at the offside when she talks about the original values. I do think that she still has, I think that deep, 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 deep down, she might still be purpose driven. And of course, I know that right now she has this very commercial focus. But I think that maybe with the right coaching and help and, activities, she might be able to rediscover what her original idea was with this company. But it will take some help because she's not, She's a bit far from that right now.
I think Marie has done a better job than she's believed. After a few months, she awakened three persons around her. Natalie has a small awakening. Mark is totally changed. He has found out that there are people around me that actually have the same dreams that I had. So even old people can be woken up. And Chuck, it seems that his experiences had, of course, made him disillusionated, but it seems that he could be waking up. So if I was Marie, I would stay because I can see what has happened already. But of course, you are going to ruin that when you move on, if I know you might. So, of course, when I'm asking you about that, I'm also a bit curious. Why do you stay with the company? And maybe this question is rude, not to you, but to our time. Why do we stay with the company? Mm. Is it because I want my own purpose in life being fulfilled? Or is it as it was in the old day? I have a duty. I have a duty to my family, to my company, and to my country. So that's why I go to work. And secondary, maybe I get my own needs fulfilled. So in this story, I think there's a lot of people here, and maybe also because they reflect real life, that goes to work because they want to be recognized. That's the word we hear. They want to be acknowledged. They want to have freedom. They want to design their own jobs. Things like that is what we hear from these guys. Is that a fair requirement? And if so, how on earth can we as companies support these desires? And if you answer that correct, you would be extremely rich.
I think an important, maybe third reason why people stay is convenience. It's easier to stay than to go. I think that a lot of people who may not no longer believe that they can get the fulfillment that they're looking for in a company, they just stay because they are there. Not the obligation piece any longer, but more, well, this is what I do every morning.
This is an issue. We sometimes talk about quiet quitting. Is that an issue, or is it okay to stay and make your 8-to-4 job and go home and forget everything about my job? And when I'm there, I'm not committed. I may be a bit engaged, but that's it. Is that an issue? And would it be an issue for Zebra?
In my mind, that is an issue, and not in the short term, but over a longer period of time, that sums up to neglect. So then we would have issues that do not get resolved. We have more and more dust and clutter settling, like we have in the basement of Zebra. Its stuff is piling up.
Together with the bones, yes. Yes. That's me.
So over time, it becomes a problem. But for the short time, short term, you could carry people who are not engaged for a while.
Yes. So there's one person that I recognize from this duty perspective. That's the chef.
Joseph.
And is he a good role model for the rest of us? And could he be part of the solution? Not in his current role, but in an organization. Because he's there to serve and to do his duty and so on. So he's a serving person.
I forgot, Joseph, when you asked us who we aspire to be. I would also maybe aspire to be a bit like Joseph. Yes. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Never managed, but I would.
Yes.
But are we seeing a future where that type of person is coming back? Or is it the end of people that serve others because of the service.
I hope that there will continue to be people like Joseph, and because I think something he displays is high emotional intelligence.
Yes.
He's very observant, and he's like, he's not just, you know, a service organ. He's very actually personal with Marie, and he sees her and recognizes that she doesn't get lunch, that often she skips lunch. And he's like, he's not afraid to actually address that. So I think that type of employee is very valuable, as you also say, Christian. So I would hope that it's a type of person that we would have many of in our organizations.
It is a very good story you have made, and thank you so much for letting us into your universe there, and thank you also for all your responses here. There's a lot of other things I would like to hear from you guys, but I would follow the development, the progress of the story, and I'm sure I will learn a lot of new things. I already have done that, so thank you very much for that. It has been a pleasure.
Likewise, Christian. These were some great questions, and now I see the story in a little bit different light.
Maybe we'll invite you back in 2 chapters' time and talk
never
more.
Talk to your customers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christian.